that.
Blog Talk Radio.
What the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. His goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. And mercy and the power of the blood. So much power in the blood. Wasn't based on what I've done, but the goodness and mercy and the power of the blood.
Redeemed by the blood, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, his goodness and mercy. I'm telling you, people of God, you are free, and who the Son set free is free indeed. Don't let no one tell you nothing different. Amen. Glory to God. I want you to be blessed with the Mercy Elevation Worship. Amen, and I will be right back.
Power of the blood, the power of the blood.
nothing but his blood, nothing but the blood.
Glory, 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 nothing but the blood of Jesus. When you don't feel whole, the blood of Jesus can make you whole. I want to thank you for tuning in to another broadcast of Kingdom Builders Development Institute. Guess what? We are blessed. And when we're blessed, we are to be a blessing. Amen. So we're blessed to bless others. So we're blessed to be a blessing. Amen. I can hear a background. I don't know where it's coming from, but I want to ask everyone to, I believe your phones are muted. Glory to God. But I want to thank you for loving on God enough to know that you need him, to know that you need him. Get your Bibles out. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Get your communion together, because he said as much as you do it, hallelujah, you do it in remembrance of me, says the Father. So get your communion. Get all your food on the table. Get your Bibles out. Let's get ready to eat spiritual food. Let's get ready to eat spiritual food. Let's get ready to eat some spiritual food. I'm telling you, we had Thanksgiving, hallelujah, and we had tons and tons of food. We had variety. We had choices. And now, God save the best for last. Amen. We are getting ready to eat some spiritual food, because the spiritual food keep our spirits fed. Amen. We want you to get your Bibles. We're going to be coming from Luke. Luke chapter 6, verses 39 through 49. Glory to God. The adoption of kingdom living. How to embrace the lifestyle that God has ordained for each and every one of us to live. Yes, trouble is going to come. Yes, things are going to happen. Yes, yes, and yes. But guess what? Kingdom living is God's desire for his people. Why? So we can be prepared and we can be qualified to endure when we're going through, so we can get where? To. Amen. So things are going to happen, but it's according to your faith. I want somebody to say that with me. According to your faith, be it unto you. Where's your faith? Amen. You see some things happening, but where is your faith? I want you to embrace that today. I want you to wear it today. I want you to live it today. Guess why? Because our faith, hallelujah, will please God. You want to please him? Live by faith and not by sight. Amen. See some things that's happening before it happens. Believe God for the supernatural. Ask him to put some supernatural on your natural. Amen. Some supernatural on your natural. Before I get started and go into the word, I'm going to lift up a word of prayer. I would like to talk to God and just greet him and just tell him, thank you. Father, we just come to you and we ask you in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus that you would pour down your spirit, Lord God, that you would endow us with your power once again. Father, that we would have our ears open to hear your voice, that we would know, Lord God, that you're moving by your spirit. Lord God, that we would know that there's no good thing that you would hold from us if we walk uprightly. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that even as we talk to you, Lord God, that you're leading, you're guiding, and you are directing us, because we ask you to come. We ask you to come, Father. Come into not only our presence, but dwell in our spirit, so that we may know you in the power of your might, so that we may understand the blood of Jesus, that we may understand the power, the resurrection power of the blood of Jesus. God, we thank you for another day. We thank you for your people who are called by your name, who have humbled themselves and are praying and seeking your face and have turned from their wicked ways. We thank you for healing our land. We thank you, Father, that you're moving in the mighty, marvelous, matchless, wonderful name of Jesus. Let your spirit say amen. Amen, amen. And just say amen again.
Amen.
We say amen to God, amen to the things of the kingdom, amen to God's way of doing things, amen to turning from our wicked ways so that God may heal our land. Amen. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. If you believe that the word is true, if you believe that God is real, I'm asking you today, if you will prioritize your life with kingdom living. Amen. Kingdom living. I want you to prioritize your life with kingdom living. If it's not kingdom, if it's not God, I want you to ask God to lead, guide, and direct you. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what they say. What matters is that you are a soldier and you're sold out for God's way of living your life. Kingdom living is God's way versus living life our way. So we're talking about flesh, hallelujah, and we're talking about spirit. We're talking about making a conscious decision to live in this body, but live by the Spirit of the living Father. Amen. So I want you to get ready. I want to marinate your heart and marinate your spirit and marinate your thoughts. So everything that's not like God, we are going to release it right now in the name of Jesus. Just choose to let it go. Just choose to let it go, to let go everything or every person that may have hurt you. Just make a decision and let them off the hook. Why do we need to do that? Because we want God to make us a house of prayer. So when you pray, God answers. That you bombard hell when you open up your mouth. Guess what? Man may not understand, but God does. So I want you to be blessed with, make me a house of prayer. I want you to take it personal.
Make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Make me a house. Make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer.
The fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face, seek your face, oh
Lord. Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out, the fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out,
make me a house of prayer.
I'm on my own.
I want to seek your face, oh Lord.
So if you want an intimate relationship with God, we have to make a decision to become a house of prayer. We have to become open to the voice of God, because prayer is a monologue, I want you to get it, and a dialogue. I talk to him, and he talks back to me. I'm not going to do all the talking, because I need to be able to hear. Why do I need to be able to hear? I need to know what God's will is in that current situation. Amen. So I talk, and God answers. God responds. God give me assignments. God give me missions. God give me choices. So the same goes for each and every one of us. So we say, Lord, we thank you for making us a house of prayer. Glory to God. So that's how we get in to his presence, by getting to know him, turning from ways that are not pleasing to him. Let our mind be fixed. It's a mind thing. Your mind can be set like flint. Your mind can be set. It doesn't matter what's around you. If you can be in so much supernatural peace that everything the enemy is doing will not affect you. I love Jesus. I love the way he handled things. I love the way he lived his life, because he could calm a storm and was not moved. See, we all over the place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants us to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So our mind has to be in one place. Amen. Centered by the things of God. Let us go into the word of God. Glory to God. If you would get your Bibles and you would be so kind to turn to Luke chapter 6. And Elder's going to read verse 39 through 49. And as you are preparing that, I want you to understand, the more you understand kingdom living under the authority of King Jesus. I want you to get it. Kingdom living under the authority of King Jesus. The more we believe and begin to realize the power that's available to us to live a life and pleasing unto the King. Amen, amen. If you think about what if you are in the middle of the night, your house caught fire, and you had to evacuate, and you had to leave quickly, and could only save one item. What would that one item be? What would that one thing be that you just cannot live without? Okay, let's go a little further. What if you were stranded on an island, let's say in the middle of the Pacific Ocean? What's the one thing that you would miss the most? What is more precious to you than life itself? All right, I want you to ponder with that. And I'm going to ask Elder if he would read Luke 6, verses 39 through 49. Thank you, Elder.
Amen. Amen. Luke 6, 39 through 49, NIV version. And it reads as, this is Jesus' parable. He said, he also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good store up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil store up in his heart. For the mouth speaks and the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and put them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torment, amen, amen. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. Amen. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. That's the reading of the word coming out of the NIV version, Luke 6:39-49. As you hear to the reading of the word, amen.
Amen, amen. I'm telling you, get an appetite to be corrected, get an appetite to be empowered, get an appetite to be endowed with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, because guess what? When you make a cake, you don't just put eggs in it. You don't just put flour. You don't put just your flavoring. You got to put everything that is necessary to make the cake bake and taste good. So that means that as we develop kingdom living, the good, bad, and ugly, it all comes together. And then at the end of the thing, we are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I want to say to somebody, welcome change. Just say, I welcome change. I stand corrected. I want to grow. I have not arrived. Lord, help me to become more like you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder, for the reading of the word. Thank you for just being steadfast. And thank you for always being a blessing in my life. Again, I want to say to everyone on the line, so we left you in the middle of the ocean, Pacific Ocean. What would be that one thing that you would miss the most? What's more precious to you than life itself? I want you to think about it. I gave you a few minutes. But everybody have priorities. But often, those priorities are not obvious and are clouded with non-essential things. See, most of the time, we spend time doing things that's not essential. We go places that's not necessary. Many seem to sometimes just get caught up in the rat race, caught up in just doing to be doing and not progressing. You know, you could be busy, but you could be busy doing nothing, and you could not accomplish the goals that God has set before us, the mission, the assignment. So this may be the reason that this generation has been, should I say, the most slowful, the most non-focused, medicated generation ever. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to me right now, okay? If we could eliminate from our life the most non-essential things, we might rediscover. We might be able to spiritually see the priorities of our life. We may be able to truly define how God sees us. See, most people allow the non-essential things in life to define them, only to bring about a burnout. You know, what is so important to us that we wake up thinking about it? I mean, is it a book to read? Is it a place to go? I can go on and on. But even in ministry, you know, we get so caught up in doing things that are not really necessary and are not, it's not kingdom work. When it comes to spiritual things, it does not seem to be any different. See, as a Christian, you look around. Sometimes we're so cluttered with, when I say non-essential things, we have a lot of them, that we have really lost the priority of our assignment, the priority of our life. Amen? So we're so busy trying to keep up with the Joneses, not all of us, okay? Because, and I want us to remember that as we prioritize, is it singular? Is our priority singular? Or is it plural? Do we prioritize many things? So that means there's only, can be only one priority in our life. What is it? How have you defined your priorities? Or do you have priorities? Is it going to work on Monday? Is it making sure you don't miss General Hospital, all my children? Is it, you want to go to the bridge game, or what is your priority? Or have the enemy some kind of way snuck in and have stolen your drive, your vision, your purpose, your assignment? We have no priorities. But as we examine the parallel of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke that Elder just read, we can begin to see our priorities as Jesus has already established them. It's already established. We don't have to look for it. We can just read and ask God to give us an open heart so we can receive what is his will for our life. See, it's a parallel. A parallel contains a truth. I want you to get this. A parallel is a truth that's concealed, that only the Holy Spirit can reveal. That's why it's called a parable. So this truth has to do with kingdom living. See, the enemy want to disguise the way we should live so we can't see it, and we choose to live life however we choose to do it. Whoever blow the horn, that's what we're going with. We don't plan our day. Our day make plans for us. But we got authority, and God wants us to begin to embrace kingdom living so that we can begin to walk in his best, not just with things, but spiritual health, which bring natural health. Amen, amen. But the truth, this truth has to do with kingdom living. I want you to write that down in your, in the canvas of your soul, in the canvas of your spirit, in the canvas of your mind. See, on the surface of a parable, there may be some truth that can apply to our general living. The real truth of a parable is to reveal truth dealing with kingdom living. So we sometimes we have a religious overtone. Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But let me explain to you what kingdom living is. See, kingdom living is a life that you live under the authority of a king. I'm going to say that again. That sounds good to me. Kingdom living is a life that you live under the authority of a king. And accordingly, the king is absolutely in charge. He is the final authority. Amen. So we say the Bible is the final authority. Let me make it plain to you because I want everyone to get it. See, when the king is in charge, that's when we're able to live life in abundance. When the king is in charge, we don't lean to our own understanding. We don't try to figure it out. We don't know everything, and we say we don't know everything because we don't have an answer to everything. So we subject ourselves to spiritual truth. It doesn't matter where it comes from. If it's the truth and you want to be free, whom the Son set free is free indeed. So kingdom living is a life that's lived under authority. Amen. His commands are not for our consideration. See, sometimes we want to dissect some things. We want to make it the way that we feel it should be. I'm talking to me, everybody, so don't think I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. But I want you to hear the conversation. For us, when we are living under his command, we do not consider our ways, but we are under the obedience of Christ. So for us, the king is Jesus. See, we live under his authority. We live under his guidelines, and we are being brought into harmony with prioritizing our kingdom life. See, many of us today, we do not realize that Christianity, listen, it's not a democracy. Some of us thought it was. It's a theocracy. Okay, I'll make it plain. The more I understand kingdom living under the authority of Jesus, I begin to realize the power that's available to me to live a life that's pleasing to the king, that's pleasing to Jesus. So I have to make decisions. You know, sometimes things happen to us because we lean to our own understanding and we don't acknowledge him. So we make a decision, and then there is consequences because the decision we made was our choice. Can't nobody tell you nothing. Okay, Teresa, can't nobody tell you nothing. You wouldn't listen. But his priorities has become and are becoming my priorities. What's important to him is important to me. It's not what's important to me is important to him. It's not me praying, Lord, bless what I'm doing. The devil is a lie. I want to be in the center of his will. So to know more about kingdom living, I need to know more about the king. I need to know more about Jesus. See, the kingdom is defined by the king. The kingdom is not defined by Teresa. The kingdom is not defined. I can't leave my husband out because we do everything together. The kingdom is not defined by my husband, QT, elder, should I say. The kingdom is defined by the king. So the practical application of kingdom living is seen in the fact that the closer that we get to the King, the closer that we get to Jesus, the more sin and evil will abort. Why? Because he's a consuming fire. And when you get close to him, everything that's not like him has to go. Everything that's not like him begins to burn off. Amen. You remember Moses. You remember when he had to take his shoes off. He was on holy ground. Remember he took a look at the burning bush. God is a consuming fire. So the closer that we get to Jesus, guess what happens? The more uncomfortable that you become with the world. The more uncomfortable that you become with worldly thinking. Have you ever lost your thoughts or the way that you was going because you was around the wrong people? So you lean to your own understanding. But the more we get closer to God, so if I'm uncomfortable with the world and uncomfortable with sin and I'm uncomfortable with the evil in the world, there is a definable distance between Jesus and me. And many call themselves Christians, but we're not living under the authority of Christ. I don't have to tell you. You already know it. We have to, and sometimes when you make these decisions to follow Christ, people look at you like you're crazy. Be it unto me. Amen. Glory to God. Let's get to the word. This is the good part. In Matthew 7, and I'm going to read 21, hallelujah. I'm going to read 21, 22, and 23. Listen what the Bible says. The Bible says, hallelujah, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many may say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out demons, devils? Or in thy name does many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Listen, all that work for nothing. And then you're going to be told to talk to the hand because the head's not home. See, that parable that Jesus gave here in Luke that I was talking about, Elder was reading, if you connect the dots and you choose to live your own lifestyle, Jesus might have to say that to us. Amen. The parable is trying to teach us about our relationship with others in the world that's around us that will clearly reflect our relationship with God. So, okay, you're on a trip, you're on a vacation, you still should exemplify the King. Okay, you're in a grocery store, you're tired, you're hungry, you still should exemplify the King. See, this truth, it equips us with the power to affect the world around us as we walk in kingdom authority. Amen. So I'm going to give you three aspects of kingdom authority. Amen. I want you to get it because I want you to go into this last month of the year embracing kingdom living and walking in kingdom authority, because we're not weak, we're strong. And when we're weak, God got it already set up that the strong will bear the infirmities. when we're weak. But let me give you three aspects. The first aspect I want to give you is the basic of kingdom authority. Guess what it is? I don't even think you knew. It's discipleship. See, we want to walk in kingdom authority, but we don't want to be a disciple. We don't want to sit under anyone's authority. Oh, I get my command straight from heaven. Listen, the basic of kingdom authority is discipleship. I'm going to show you where I'm talking about. 39 through 42. And the key to discipleship is in verse 40. Listen what it says. When he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. So when somebody tell you, I don't need to be trained, I don't need to be taught, give them scripture. When he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. So the reality of life is that you are becoming like your teacher, if you got one. So the question is, who is your teacher? Who are you following? So to answer that, you need to look at what direction you're going. See, Jesus will be leading you away from the world. And if you're going in that direction, then your teacher is Jesus. If, however, you're going in the direction of the world, then Jesus is not your teacher. See, Jesus, he will not lead us into the world because the world is under judgment. I want you to hear it. The world is under judgment. And if you're chasing the world, then you're running away from Jesus. See, one of the obligations of discipleship is ministering to a brother, ministering to a sister in the Lord. See, there's a way to do it, and there's a way to not do it, if that makes sense to you. So this parable is really disclosing to us the proper way of ministering to our brothers and our sisters. Because when you finish ministering to them, you should have made a deposit. See, many have lifted these words out of context to make them seem different, something different altogether. Let me give you an example. I want you to look at Luke 6 and 37. See, most people, we focus on the phrase, judge not, and you will not be judged. Keep reading. Keep reading. We're talking about righteous judgment right now. But, of course, people use this to justify a life of sin, a life of rebellion. Didn't you know that? That people will say, well, the Bible says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Yes, it does. But you've got to keep reading. It's not saying anything of the sort. Notice what Jesus say in this parable, 6 and 42. See, first he said, we need to take care of our personal life and our relationship to the Lord first. And then we need to make sure that we're living in complete obedience to kingdom authority. Then listen to what he said next. Once we have taken care of our own, hallelujah, our own relationship, we are in a position and have a obligation to minister to a brother or a sister. So the dynamics of Christian discipleship includes community, community of Christians, community. So the most precious thing we have on this side of heaven is our brother and our sister in the Lord. How you doing? How are you treating them? Okay, so I want you to get that point. We're not greater than a teacher, but when we get taught, we become the teacher. And then the second point I want to give you is the evidence of kingdom authority is in our fruit. Don't despise it. It's in our fruit, 43 through 45. So many of us say that we say we're Christians, but yet in our life, there's no evidence to back up that boast, to back up those words. You know, we show nothing of the sort. In fact, the whole timber of this life, when you say that you're a Christian and you have no attributes of Christ, people see you, they want to leave your presence. Why? Because they're discerning a spirit that's not God. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I'm going to say it again. If you get arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? See, somebody once said that maybe we're supposed to judge one another, but we're supposed to be fruit testers. See, the question that bears upon my heart today is simple. It's simply this. Am I bearing the fruit of living under kingdom authority? See, it's impossible to be born again, to be born again Christian, living under kingdom authority and not bear fruit. Something's wrong. Something's wrong somewhere. Either God's word is not true or something's wrong in my life. So when a person tell you they're a Christian and you don't see the fruit being bare that's like Christ, something's wrong. I want you to notice how Jesus, he had empathy. He had sympathy. He had compassion. But he also was a consuming fire. Listen, as far as he was concerned, and his concern should be our concern, the fruit your life produced is the evidence of who you are. The fruit that your life produced, evidence of who you are. You can convict yourself. You condemn yourself. The word judges each and every one of us. Either you're in or you're out. Either you're living a Christian life under kingdom authority or you're not. There's nothing in between. I don't have to judge you. I can see the fruit. Okay, let's keep it moving. Are you comfortable in the world? You know, you have to hear that music. All of a sudden, you get to dancing. You know, you're dancing before you know it. You come to church, or you log in on Sundays, or you call in on Sundays, but the rest of the week, you enjoy all of the worldly pleasures. You enjoy everything that you can set your mind to do. You don't pick up your Bible. You don't talk to the Lord. You don't confess your fault. You don't forgive. You don't love, and you don't give. I'm talking to me. Remember now, this conversation is with me. I'm talking to me. I just want you to hear. What Jesus is saying here is you cannot have it both ways. You cannot serve two masters. You're either one or the other. The world can offer you a lot of enjoyment. The world will never offer you fulfillment. Why? Because the world can't. Only Jesus can do that. So the fruit in your life, it reveals the reality of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to give you the last one, and it's the last one for now. But I want you to get these 3 points. We're talking about prioritizing your life for kingdom living. We're talking about being a disciple, learning how to be a disciple, learning how to produce fruit. And then the last one is the foundation of kingdom authority. Guess what it is? guess what the foundation is? I get excited. It's obedience. Let's go down a little further. Verses 46 through 49. It was when Jesus asked a very important question here. He said, why not do what I tell you? See, the one thing is to give lip service to the Lord. But it's another thing, hallelujah, to have your life in harmony, in peace with his word. So the things that bring his word into harmony in our life, guess what it is? It's obedience. Obedience to the word. And I want to encourage everyone, examine your heart. What word are you obeying today? Glory to God. What word are you obeying today? Think about it. Who are you blessing today? How are you living? How are you living? What word are you living by? How are you loving? How are you forgiving? Make a decision to forgive. Make a decision to let it go. Make a decision to love. Make a decision to give more of yourself. Don't be selfish. Glory to God. I need you to come closer. I need you to come closer. I need you to come closer, says the Father. I need you to come closer to me. I need you to establish a lifestyle I need you in my presence. I need you to be a sanctuary. I need you to become more like me. I need you to produce fruit. I need you to love the unlovable. I need you to forgive. I need you to forget about you. And I need you to be about me. I need you to make a decision to serve me. I need you to make a decision to forget your life and embrace kingdom living. I need you to prioritize and exemplify my love because a change is coming. It is the season to change. It's the season to forgive. It's the season to shine for my glory. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord saying, push, 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 push. You want more of me? I've made myself available for you. Those nights when you looked for me, I was there. I need you to be in harmony with me. I need your obedience to my word. I need you to obey me and be not burdened with the things of this life. I need the core of your life to be obedient to me. Hallelujah. The very delight of my life is obeying the Lord. Pursuing the daily walk with Jesus, it fuels my body. It energized my thoughts. I get excited. excited because I know that understanding my position in God's kingdom, it enables me to understand the power and authority I have through living a life of praise. I love the Lord. And as I submit to Him, as I yield to Him, the things I would do and the things I would say, I don't say. Obedience is better than sacrifice. For a non-Christian, the season to fuel the non-Christian, the season to be connected to God so you can bless someone else. Hallelujah. So God said, let go everything that's not like Him. Stop wanting to be right about everything. Be able to have an open ear to hear so you can discern how to help other people. It's not important to me to win the conversation. What's important to me is to win salvation. Glory to God, to whom all praises is due. Thank you. I just want you to get your communion ready because I understand that as I keep pushing toward the things of the kingdom, as I keep denying myself, as I keep making myself a house of prayer, it's inevitable for me to grow. It's like watering grass, fertilizing it, taking out the weeds. As my little great niece always said, she said, I'm getting bigger, I'm getting stronger, and I'm getting better. Why? Because I prioritize my life under the authority of Christ. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. If you have your communion, I want to ask you to get ready to let's sit at the table and let's suck together. You know, this here is an example of the blood of Jesus. I ask you, Father, to convert it right now in the name of Jesus. Convert it from natural use to spiritual use. As we consume it together, Father, that you would fulfill us, that we would hear you and we'll move by your spirit. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you strike everything that's not like you. And Father, you just overshadow us with your glory, that we may be able to be built up, that we may be able to be used by you, and others will be changed out of because of our obedience to Christ. Amen. Glory to God. So I want you to lift up the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want you to literally use your faith today. And I want you to literally say, this is the blood of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to begin to know that when you eat my body, he said, and when you drink my blood, he said, I'll dwell there. This is the blood covenant. This is the cup of blessing. Amen, that he talked about in Mark 14. Amen. We're not literally eating his flesh, but we're eating his word. We're living by his spirit, and we allow the Holy Spirit to rest and rule. Amen. So Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the blood of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. I want you to get that. You have no life in you. This has given us life. Do you want life in you? Are you tired of being tired? Are you ready to change? Amen. Let us lift it up high. Let us eat together the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was broken that we might be made whole. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you on the altar to an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that make your atonement by the life. Let us drink together. Drink, hallelujah, and drink all of it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now we can prepare to go in God's feet. Hallelujah. We're excited about what God is doing. We're excited about living this kingdom lifestyle, God's way, prioritizing our life, letting our day be totally led by God's way of doing it, the adoption. Just say right now, I adopt kingdom living. Come on, I adopt kingdom living, and my life is going to be made better having heard the word of God. Glory, glory, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're going to end on that note. Father, I thank you that you cover these, your people. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that a change has come, that everything, Lord God, that you ordained for them to do, Father, not only will they hear you, but they'll know you, God. Father, that when they read the word, that you would give them spiritual discernment. And when they open their mouth, others will receive what you're doing through them. We thank you for it. And we thank you for a new beginning of overflow so we can live in kingdom authority. Amen, amen, amen. I say God bless everyone. I want to welcome you to kingdom living. Kingdom living. And we're going to ask God to clear the land. So we march in. The land will be cleared. God bless everyone. Have a supernatural rest of the week. We'll see you on Wednesday. We'll be here same time, same place. Amen, amen. God bless everybody. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be here on the line. Get ready for our opening. We're going to have our announcements on Wednesday. But again, I say bless everyone. And let's clear the land. God bless you.
We acknowledge you, Father God. We acknowledge you as our Lord and our Savior. We acknowledge you as the King of the Kingdom. You are the Lord Sabaoth who fight our wars and win. We acknowledge you, Father God. We applaud you for everything you've done, God, and everything that you're going to do, God. We just worship you, God. We just always want to take our time to give you glory and give you reverence. You are the King of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are Jehovah Nisi. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. We worship you in the name of Jesus. We lift your name on high in the name of Jesus. We die that you might increase tonight, God. We die in the name of Jesus, God. We just clear the land in the name of Jesus, God. But we don't want anything to block our prayers, God. So therefore, we come repenting for all of our sins, God. We pray that you would blood wash us and make us whole, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would circumcise us tonight. God, that you would circumcise our hearts in the name of Jesus, God, that you would circumcise our ear gates, God. We just take dominion and authority over all dullness of heart, all dullness of hearing, God. We pray, God, that you would judge the hardness of heart in the name of Jesus, God. Make our hearts soft and pliable in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, rekaya shea, rekaya la ria kaya saya reke, rababaya shea la ria kaya saya, creating us a clean heart, Lord Jesus, and renew the right spirit in us in the name of Jesus, God. We want to live upright and holy before you, God. We want Christ. We pull it down right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah.